This is Doug Miller. A woman with wings. Is she an angel? Is she a demon? Stick around. Let's talk about the Bible.
Communication. Of all God's creatures, man does it best. And he does it through the medium of language, both written and spoken. Dialogue is a program dedicated to the belief that God has communicated truthfully with the most intelligent of his earthly creatures, man. We therefore invite you to enter into dialogue as we discuss the principles, truths, and foundations of God's Word. Now here's your host, Dr. Doug Miller.
Thank you, Paul. That was Paul Sublett. This is Doug Miller. The program is Dialogue, and we are pleased and blessed, I might add, to be back with you, to be able to sit before this microphone and talk and send this message out. We don't know who all is listening. We don't know how many are listening. We don't know the results of the message. We know this, that God has promised this word will never return to him void. And we don't know who you are. Maybe you listen regularly to Dialogue. Maybe this is the first time you've tuned in. Maybe you tuned in by accident. It doesn't matter. You bring your Bibles and come along. We are in the fifth chapter of Zechariah, the second to the last book of the Old Testament, an apocalyptic book full of symbols that looks off into the future, that tells us something about the world of tomorrow. And I think that you will profit greatly by this. Call a friend. Tell them to listen in as well. I've said many times on here, you're the only advertisers we have out there. And we appreciate you much. Now, Dialogue is brought to you every week at this time by Dialogue Ministries Incorporated, a nonprofit organization that exists solely for the purpose of seeing this word go out as far out as we can get it to as many as we can get it out to. And to that end, we require the support and assistance of the people of God. Please pray for Dialogue. I say this so often, and I think that, you know, it is so easy for us to go along without praying. I know that there are many times in my life when I can have gone for long periods without praying. We are against a host of unseen enemies out there, and some seen enemies. And the only power that we have really is from the Lord and the prayers of the saints. We need your prayers. So write our name down, Dialogue, on your prayer list, and take us before our Lord Jesus Christ, before God the Father. We are told to come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Pray, please, for Dialogue. We would love to hear from you. Our mailing address, Dialogue, P.O. Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. If you didn't get that, keep your writing materials handy, and Paul Sublett will give it to you again at the end of the broadcast. If you would like to email, we can accommodate you on that one. Our email address, Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, at sbcglobal.net. That's Dialogue Ministries at sbcglobal.net. Now, our webpage, you can pull that down, too, and read it and or ignore it or whatever. That's up to you. But here's how you get it. Dialogue Ministries, all one word, all small letters, .org, O-R-G, will get you the webpage. If you wish to talk to me, we can accommodate you there. Our phone number, area code 405-535-9089. That's 405-535-9089. You will get a recording of me, and I will ask you to leave a message, and I will get back with you. Okay, preliminaries over. Let's see what we can see in this book. We are about to see a woman. Now, you've heard me say this before, and I know that if you listen to Dialogue at all, you are used to me repeating myself, and that's kind of the way I do it. So if you don't like repetitive teaching, well, you won't like me. But repetition is a way to teach. It's a way to get ideas across. You keep saying it, and people will get it. Now, when I said at the, at the first of the broadcast, I talked about looking off into the future, the world of tomorrow. What does it bring? Well, I can tell you right now that it brings for a remnant, and I mean a small remnant, both of Jews and Gentiles, it brings glory beyond anything you can imagine. Everything that people have desired, and more, things they haven't even imagined, is waiting for the survivors, and it'll be a remnant out there in the future. Peace, prosperity, beauty, love, the presence of God on this earth, that's what is going to be beyond a period that is the worst that this earth has ever seen. Now the Bible's very clear on this. The prophet Daniel talked about it. Our Lord Jesus Christ talked about it. John the Apostle in the book of Revelation wrote at length about this terrible, terrible time that's coming. He began, in chapter 4 of Revelation and runs it up through, about chapter 19. This terrible time. It is called the Great Tribulation. Things in this world, we can't escape it. We cannot escape it. That is what is going to happen. And anyone who is teaching you anything other than this is teaching you an untruth. Now you say, well, what about, we got a lot of religious people in the world. Hey, there's a lot of religion that will be around during this terrible tribulation that I've been talking about on here and other teachers and preachers have been talking about. Religion's not going to save you. Religion's not going to save this earth. And religion will certainly not keep us from living through what I'm telling you. And the things in this world, if you look at the world today, believe me, the stage is being set for this terrible, terrible time. People have rejected God. They have rejected this word. They have gone about trying to concoct their own religion, to create God in their own image. They have created idols thereby. And it's all going to collapse in one of the most terrible periods that we know of. Now, Zechariah deals with this. And this is the world of tomorrow. A dreadful, terrible time, and friends, you don't want to be here for that. No one in his or her right mind wants to be here for that. You know, I've talked to people before, and I've talked to them about heaven and hell. No reasonable person wants to go to hell. And if you say, well, are you going to heaven? Well, I hope so. Well, have you any assurance at all? Well, not really. I try to be the best I can and do the best I can and be a good guy to the best I can, and somehow it'll all work out. Yeah, right. It will not. There is such a thing as the blessed assurance. There is such a thing as knowing that you are saved. And if you don't know it, you had better listen and pay close attention. Because to be unsaved is to doom yourself to living through this terrible time, and you will wind up in hell. And friends, this is not something any reasonable person wants. Now let's pick up Zechariah 5 and go down to verse 5, and let's be introduced to this woman. I said it the first, a woman with wings. Well, immediately you think of an angel. Friends, this is no angel. This is a demon. There's something demonic about all this. And let me tell you right now, ladies, I hope I don't offend you too much with this. But on the other hand, if you're offended, I'm not going to worry about it a great deal. A woman out of place in Scripture is always indicative of evil. Did you get that now? Let me give it to you again. so I can, you know, step on your toes real good if I didn't do it sufficiently there. A woman out of place in Scripture is always indicative of evil. Go back and read the 17th chapter of Revelation. What do you have? You have a woman riding a beast. And you don't have to read very far in that to find out what we have here. It's Mystery Babylon. Well, Babylon appears again in the 5th chapter of Zechariah, too. When I say a woman out of place, what would constitute a woman out of place? Well, for one thing, let's say an adulteress. She is out of her place. Rather than being true and faithful to her husband, she is involved with another man. And so much of this business of adultery, we see it over and over in Scripture. And God uses adultery and the unfaithfulness of the wife to the husband as teaching idolatry, serving a god other than the true God. Now, if you say, well, a man can be involved in adultery too, yeah, that's right. But the woman in particular is used to symbolize, once again, idolatry and a abandoning of the true God. Why is that? Because so often the church and Israel are pictured as brides of Yahweh. Brides of Yahweh. And therefore, you see it in Revelation with the church. You see it throughout the Old Testament scriptures. You see the adulteress, the woman out of place. And it is the Lord's people abandoning the Lord. How about a woman out of place? Have you ever read the 14th chapter of 1 Corinthians? Or the 2nd chapter of 1 Timothy? Have you read what Paul says in those places about women? Now, I tell you what, in this politically correct age we are living in, there are people out there who despise guys like me. Because you know how we are in this country. We have to be fair to everyone. And it's not fair to say that anyone can't do anything that anyone else can do, and so on and so forth. But Paul makes it very clear. It is a shame for a woman to speak in church. Let your women keep silence. Now, for those of you who are being taught, and this will be a bunch of you out there, that this is just old Paul, you know, expressing his cultural bias of that day, I've got another take on it. This is apostolic. And it is true. And you show me a church that is being dominated by women, and I'll show you a church in trouble. But don't get too high and mighty about this, men, because you show me a church that is being dominated by women, and I'll show you a church that where the men have utterly and absolutely failed. And that is really basically the truth throughout Christendom. The men in the world who call themselves Christians ought to be ashamed of themselves, and there'll be a time of judgment. Because how many men do you know who sit at home and watch TV and send the wives and children off to church on Sunday? How many homes do you know in which if there's any spiritual content to the home at all, it's the woman who's doing it because the man has abandoned his position? You men, you listen to me. You ought to be the head of your household in all things, particularly in spiritual things. You ought to be the one who gathers your family around the Word of God. You ought to be the one praying. You ought to be the one taking the central position on these matters. And if you don't, well, nature abhors a vacuum, and so does the church, and women will lead in will move into the leadership roles, and you will have a church out of order because the Word of God does not change. Let your women keep silence. And in 1 Timothy, I suffer not a woman to teach nor usurp authority over the man. Now, if you want to treat that as Paul's, you know, cultural bigotry and the ignorance of that day and all of that, You want to send your women off to seminaries and ordain them? Fine, you'll do it without my blessing. It's a woman out of place, and it never leads anywhere other than to trouble. Now that, you know, that I've offended the three-quarters of you, fine. You needed to be offended, and you need to consider what I have said. Now look at this. The angel that talked with me and went forth said unto me, lift up now thine eyes and see what is this that goeth forth. And I said, what is it? And he said, this is an ephah that goeth forth. And he said, moreover, this is their resemblance through all the earth. Once again, we have something going out into the whole earth. Now, an ephah was a measuring. It was something that they stored grain in. It, I don't know exactly the common. It was a common weight. Probably if you look in your Bibles, it will tell you how many bushels an ephah. It's a little more than a bushel. And all of you farmers will know about that. But here it is, an ephah. But we're not getting to the full thing. Look at verse 8. Or rather, look at verse 7. Now, notice also in verse 6. I keep backing up here, don't I? But notice it's going out throughout the whole earth. The last time that we were here, we saw the flying roll going out throughout the whole earth. This is something, it is universal. It's not confined to Israel. It's not confined to Greece or Italy or any place like this. It is going throughout the whole earth. And behold, there was lifted up a talon of lead, and this is a woman that sitteth in the midst of the ephah. Now, no doubt, no question about who this woman is, this winged woman. If you think an angel, think again. The announcing angel here tells Zechariah exactly, and he said, this is wickedness. This is wickedness. We have a scene of great wickedness here. And he cast it into the midst of the ephah, and he cast the weight of lead upon the mouth thereof. And what do you know? When I was a kid, the church that I went to, which was full of people, frankly, who many of them didn't know what they were doing. We had people unsaved teaching Sunday school. There's no doubt about it in my mind. If you say, well, there you go being judgmental again, Miller. Oh, be quiet. Someone needs to tell the truth. We had people teaching, you know, in the 13th chapter of Matthew, the parable of where the woman takes the leaven and puts it into the meal and it leavens the whole bunch. More than once I've heard someone say, in fact, the main one that I remember saying it was a woman Sunday school teacher. Well, the leaven, she said, is the gospel, and it's put into the meal, and it leavens the whole bunch, and it's the gospel. It's going to leaven throughout the whole world and go throughout the whole world until, you know, the gospel, and we will bring the kingdom of God on earth, and so on and so forth. And that is typical of so-called post-millennialism, which I don't know of anyone who really is teaching or preaching that anymore. Listen, friends, leaven is never, never a symbol, a good symbol in the Bible. It is always wicked. It is always evil. A woman out of place is always evil. And birds, generally, are always evil. Now, you've heard me say before on here, you let the Bible interpret the Bible. It'll interpret its own symbols. If you know of any place in the Scripture where birds generally are seen as some great blessing, birds are generally seen as evil. And leaven is always evil, and a woman out of place is always evil. Well, let's look at verse 9 here. I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, there came out two women, and the wind was in their wings, for they had wings like the wings of a stork. Really? Well, a stork is an unclean bird. If you don't believe it, go back and read the Mosaic Law. And they lifted up the ephah between the earth and the heaven. Then said I to the angel that talked with me, whither do these bear the ephah? And he said, kindly look at verse 11. Look at verse 11. This is important. And he said unto me, to build it an house in the land of Shinar, and it shall be established and set there upon her own base. Now, if you're sitting there saying, what in the world could this possibly mean? Let me ask you, Shinar or Shinar, where is that? Go back and read where you first see this. And it's back in Genesis. And I am saying this just from memory now, and I could be wrong, but I believe it's chapter 10. And it is the first time you see the Tower of Babel. It is the first time you see the beginning of Babylon. Babylon begins in an evil way. Babylon ends up in Revelation in judgment. The great harlot who sits on the beast and rides the beast. It is mystery Babylon. Babylon stands for and always represents false religion. There is something just ahead. I don't know how far ahead, but I don't think it could be long, that is being established in the land of Shinar, and which is Babylon. And what is this thing? It is a house that's being built, and it is false religion. Now listen to me carefully. Religion, there's going to be plenty of religion around when the Antichrist gets here. There's going to be plenty of religion throughout the world. The nations of the world and the religions of the world are, in fact, going to come together. They are going to come together in a colossal false religion. It is Babylonian in nature. It is not God's religion. And it is the religion of the end times. It is the temple of the Antichrist. It is the defiled thing. And right now, I mean, you can see, once again, the stage being set for this, can't you? Look at the religions of the world. How many times have you heard someone saying that for example, that the Muslims and the Christians and the Jews all worship the same God? How many times have you heard that? And what is the purpose of someone saying something like that? That is a colossal lie, incidentally. It is a blatant lie. There is no truth to it. Allah and Yahweh Elohim are not the same God. Salvation is of the Jews. You've heard me say it on here before. These are not the same God. Well, why would someone say this? Well, for one reason, because they are ignorant. Because of ignorance. And for another reason, because they want to believe it. They want to believe that all we have to do is just work at it a little bit and we will all be the same. And there will be great peace when we put aside our differences and come to common ground, because after all, we all have these things in common, don't we? No, we do not. And the result is going to be an evil and a wicked house built, and many will be deceived thereby. I hope you're not one of them. This is Doug Miller, and this is Dialogue.
Dialogue, exploring and considering the revelation of the God who created the vast star fields and the simple starfish. Have we communicated with you? Then why not communicate with us? Write to Dialogue, Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. That's Post Office Box 1222, Edmond, Oklahoma, 73083. Be with us next week for Dialogue.